Hey there, cats, kittens. Mike Coughlin here with his puppy, Samson the Puggle, walking and talking late at night here, late on a Thursday night. Ironic, not ironic at all, not ironic in the least, but fortuitous, perhaps, that my sloth and laziness saved us all, I'd say, from a useless podcast. I'd actually recorded a solo deal last Sunday, before the shooting happened. And I don't even remember what the fuck I was talking about, but I'm sure in the light of what happened, it's not cool. I know, Matt and I talked about this on the last MMA and stuff, which, let's be honest, I thought it was the best show we've ever done. I thought it was informative and funny. I thought the audio level sounded good. For the first time in ever, I'm like, hey, I think we can listen. I thought that was a fucking bear. That is just the shadow from a stop sign. But yeah, I enjoyed that show. Just go listen to it. Instead, I'm walking the dog. That gives us about 20 minutes or so here. He needs a little exercise. I can see his butt prolapsing his shit into this poor bastard's driveway. Not really a driveway. But yeah, no, what's going on? What was it? Oh yeah, I'm trying to think of what it's... It's the first thing I wanted to get off my chest. You're going to probably see this article. I say this as if I'm prepping you. Like, everybody, keep an eye out. Be on the lookout for this. This is the latest piece of fake news going around. It's not. It's not. I wouldn't call it fake news at all. What it was is an article on BuzzFeed. And you can tell it's going to be a big one because it's really, really long. It's kind of one of those, this is our prestige thing. Look how great and real writers and journalists we are. Blah, blah, blah. I mock because I've done the same thing, and I will continue to do the same thing. It's a way to justify all the dick and fart and clickbait shit that you do to make a living. Justify it to yourself. And whatever asshole gives you some sort of award. The Socies? That'd be a weird one for the social media networks. Anyway, so they got this article, and again, I don't want to go into the whole article. Apparently, they got access to a bunch of Milo Yiannopoulos' emails. And from that, they were able to extrapolate all this inner workings of the... I mean, they're actually doing the vast right-wing conspiracy. Like, seriously, that's the argument, is that there's an actual vast right-wing conspiracy. I swear to fuck, if I didn't know better, you'd have to admit, and I say half, because I mean it, Hillary has to be behind this. Nobody else would still cling to the right, vast right-wing conspiracy thing like that. So awesome. Nonetheless, it's, whatever, again, I can't go through with a fine-tooth comb right here. I'm not very professional or good at my job. Ooh, there's a doggy in the window. He didn't see you, Sammy. Oh, there you did. So yeah, there's that going on, but, so I read the whole thing, and again, some of it's fine. Some of it, you do go, eh, okay. I think a lot of it just is... You know, seeing sausage be made. They even say it at one point, to let so-and-so see the sausage be made. But there's a lot of truth to that. And I think with someone like Milo, who I would say is more entertainer first than anything, anybody who's ever done anything creative, and I myself am obviously a very creative man, know that you go through a lot of ugly shit. Nonetheless, people that want to see him as a right-wing... Actually, I do think I denounced the term right. Alt-right Nazi. There's plenty in there for you to go with. If you don't, there's enough for you to go, no, this is overblown, or whatever, he's a weirdo. I was kind of struck by even the admissions within the piece, which is clearly designed, not like some, like, I hate saying, they had an agenda. And you may say the agenda's fine, and that's true. It may be the correct agenda. It's still an agenda. But no, to me, and it's something that I really, it just as a man of truth, and if there's one thing I'm known for, it's being a man of truth, of course. I mean, I don't call me Michael the Truth Bearer for nothing. And they certainly don't say it just because I made it up right here and now. There was a passage here, and they were trying to illustrate these connections to, between, it's basically like, well, you have Donald Trump, the head honcho, and he's connected to Bannon. Bannon's connected to Milo, and then Milo connected to a bunch of other people. And some of these people, I don't know. I didn't get the impression that all of them were, like, explicitly, like, the actual hate guys. So much as, like, they're, like, the Richard Spencer types. Although, I didn't see Richard Spencer's name come up. But people who are probably, like, cozier with those groups than they should be. Like, yeah. Although, I think someone was involved with Daily Stormer, which... That's fucking weird to me, man. I've never really understood that one. I really don't know. To me, just my logic always tells me if anything's really big, it's not really that truly racist. And I will base this again. I'm getting back to the point here. And people might say, "Oh, you're blind or oblivious." Nah, maybe I just have faith in humanity. Damn it, I believe in Americans. I actually do. It's like whenever people complain about Brown Pride on Velasquez. Or La Raza, or CARE, or any, like, the left-wing identity groups. I may not like some of those groups and what they profess to stand for, what I think that, like, the intellectuals in there believe. But, you know, I think the people, like, the regular average Joe, they're fine with that shit. And they don't do it from, like, a hate thing. Like, Velasquez with the Brown Pride. I don't really see it as bad, because I think language has a purpose, and the purpose of words is to convey an idea. And we know that when you say white power, it conveys a certain idea. When you say brown power, it doesn't convey the same idea. It just doesn't. Maybe it should, but all language is contextual. And the context that he's putting that in is, I feel like this is a way for him to basically say, you know, I love Ireland. It really is. Now, it comes out different, and if you're white, you look at it, you go, that's not fair. And it's not fair. And maybe white people have to use a different standard of language. Again, I don't really care about that, and if we do, we do. I've always been very strict in the whole, you can say the word, you can't use the word, but you can only say a word. You can say nigger, you can't call someone a N-word. To me, there's a difference there. Again, it's a matter of intent. It's a matter of what you're trying to convey. And I think everybody on both sides gets really, you know, they all want to play the game where they look at it from their perspective. Nobody wants to see it from the person's side thing. It's not just having differences of opinion. It's willful ignorance. You take a knee at the national anthem, and I look at it, and I go, "Why are you fucking kidding me? You're kneeling for that thing that supports the troops and apple pie and all that shit." And if you're, you know, kneeling, you go, "No, what I'm doing is it's not like I hate America." Somebody does. That's fine. You know what? If you hate America, so be it. My plan to save America is to dismantle it. But if you, like, they're saying, "No, I'm taking a knee because I want to draw attention to something. I actually think America's great. We can do better," and so on and so forth. They can both be true. Like, you can be saying, "Look, I'm not trying to disrespect it." Well, I can be going, "Look, when somebody does that, it feels disrespectful to me." It's just kind of a matter of, why don't we just both understand that the other guy is doing what he's doing from a good place, with a good heart. Like, I'm a real big believer of that. And I've actually kind of been purposely going out of my way lately on Facebook where, unless I'm... people know I'm joking. Like, I'm actually almost moving away from trolling. Because I think trolling is easy. And I've never really considered myself a troll. I'm a satirist. I'm somebody that has an overly inflated ego who puts delusions of high importance on his words. So he uses bigger words than he should because he doesn't know how to use them. So he can justify his actions. But to me, it's very simple just to be very passive. And not passive speech, although I think passive speech should come back, but very passive and very just, "Well, what about this?" Or, "Okay, what about, or does that mean this? Does that mean that?" And you will get to the point. It's the Socratic method. It's not, I didn't invent this. Unless I did in a previous lifetime, because I'm very good at it. But again, even if you're trying to be a lawyer and do the lawyer thing, it's just a very simple, "Well, why?" Or, "Well, what comes next?" Or, "Why do you believe that?" And I think a lot of people get caught off guard by it first. They go, "What the fuck?" And again, even if you want to make a point, if you want to, you know, stick it to them, you always have to resist the urge. Because people don't respond to being told, "You're wrong. You're wrong." People's ego gets involved then. But I think if you could ask people questions and be like, hey, this is what I'm seeing, or this is how it might be perceived, I think that people then later on sit and they think and they go, huh, oh, okay. Like, I always knew that when I, growing up with my dad, I'd be talking to him. We'd always be talking about something, and I'd be arguing against him, his position. And it was really more argument than debate. And I would get so angry, because my dad was, he's very brilliant at what he did. He was a great lawyer, had a great mind for it. And he knew his stuff. So not only did he have that advantage, and again, he was an adult, and I'm a fucking high school kid. If you can't out, if you're a practicing lawyer and you can't out-debate a high school kid, like, seriously, you should just fucking kill yourself. Which he did over a period of 63 years with the drink. Now then, but my dad also had a number of personality flaws, including he liked to stick it to you. He liked to insult you. This is why, where you're mistaken, or this is what can be different. It's, you're wrong, dumbass, and this is why. And you just go A, B, and C. But what would happen is over time, I would get angry. I'd be, fuck you, you're wrong, blah, blah, blah. You're not my real dad. Well, I've never actually said that. Although he did say that I was the biggest mistake of his life. Very odd. Dad was a complicated man. Not really. He just had a drinking problem and grew up with a lack of any parental figures. Okay, so he had problems. But now then, but over time, I would sit there and go, oh, okay, I get what he's saying. And that was right. Like, when I had the... When you give people that freedom to turn a leaf and admit to themselves that they were wrong before they have to admit to you that they were wrong, then you'll win them over. Because people don't get won over by you saying, you're wrong. People don't go, oh. Now, people don't admit to you. They admit to themselves and then to you. Because once they've admitted to themselves, they feel comfortable, they can test the waters, they can look at you, and they feel like they can demonstrate more fully and openly, hey, I actually agree. All that stuff before, I was wrong. Yeah, it was dumb. But it takes a long time to get there. And I think if you just ask people questions, you just be nice to them. And you have to resist that urge to stick it to them. You can't spike the football. You can't even take it over the goal line. All you can do is block. You just got to knock out everybody coming at them. You knock them out of the way, and you let them find that way. But what you do as a blocker, this is a good analogy. I don't know if it's a good analogy. I'm working it out right now. Shut the fuck up. What you do as you're a blocker is a blocker sets the lane. The block, runners don't determine where they go on the field. Okay, a runner ultimately determines where he goes, right? Running back gets the ball. He can go anywhere he wants. But if he wants to be successful, again, he can go wherever he wants if he's Barry Sanders, Michael Vick. But for the most part, 99.5% of the time, the way to get where he wants, which is happiness, the truth, spiking the football, is to follow the open lane. So all you have to do is block, and you show them the path, and then you let them go down. But if you try to push them down, they won't go. Like, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make them drink. All these fucking old sayings, people knock on all this shit. Maybe that's our biggest problem in America right now. We don't have enough fucking old, tiny, folksy shit like that. Fuck, man. We'd all be better off if we all understood you can lead a horse to drink to water, but you can't make them drink. Isn't that the most perfect thing in the world? Wow! This all gets tied back to Milo and the hit piece done by BuzzFeed, which, again, may just be completely honest and accurate. But one of the things that, again, got my spidey sense going was they were trying to draw the connection between Milo and this other guy, and this other guy was connected to this other group. So, like, the group was bad, and this guy was near the group, so he's bad. And if he's bad, Milo's bad, because that guy's bad. It's always flimsy. I think in the world of politics, I don't think it's always fair to draw those connections. Like Barack Obama here when he's in Chicago, he went to Bill Ayers' house at least once. He had some things with him. Bill Ayers is a fucking dirtbag piece of shit who should be in prison still. He was a terrorist of the Weather Underground in the 70s. He's a hippie terrorist. I think the guy's a piece of shit. Do I think Barack Obama is super good friends with him? No. I'm guessing Obama was just in Chicago, and this guy had some political clout somehow, and he goes, oh, okay. And so he's not the bad guy. This guy's a bad guy, and his group is the bad guy. And it's just kind of, again, it's specious. So don't always connect everybody because a friend of their friend of their friend did something bad. Except for in this case, even if you want to play that game, it doesn't really work. It's one thing if, like, the guy knows the Klan or the neo-Nazis. But this is the passage, and I actually took it out just for a laugh at it. He's associated, this guy, I'll call him Joe. It was like Milo, his friend's a Joe. And then Joe, this is the direct quote, he's associated with the wolves of Vinland. The wolves of Vinland. A Virginia neo-pagan group that one reporter described as white power wolf cult. Yeah. The evidence for the evil racist, some of the evidence was one guy knew a guy who knew people in a white power wolf cult. Seriously? Like, look, if you had said he was friends with David Duke, I'd be like, fuck me, man. David Duke, he's a bad dude. And if people were like, why is David Duke back? And I'd be like, he led the KKK. And they'd be like, fuck, I've heard of the KKK. That's a bad group. I'd be like, I know, they're in the history books. They're really evil. They're killing people and lynching blacks. And as my father always pointed out, the family farm in South Dakota had a cross burned on it from the KKK. So we suffered just as much as all those blacks, you know, the thousands of them that got lynched and beaten and raped and treated like subhuman trash. Totally the same as the Catholic family out in the middle of nowhere, South Dakota, having a cross on their front lawn. Totally the same, Dad. I'm with you. So, but again, I'd be like, okay, that's a real group. I don't think the KKK is really a very powerful group, because I think they're just a bunch of nobodies. Like, you just don't see them anywhere. You know that, because whenever you do hear of a Klansman, it's on the fucking news. The KKK shows up anywhere, everyone on the news covers it. They don't do that with groups that are everywhere. Like, when there's a meeting of the Rotary Club, or when the Heritage Foundation has a meeting, they don't have a big fucking convention and be like, oh my gosh, can you believe this today? My gosh, ladies and gentlemen, we have to report today that Bill Kristol and and Britt Hume, and can we confirm that name? Wait, hold on, not yet. Wait, can we confirm? We have Bill Kristol confirmed, yes. Britt Hume, and sir, can you come through? You're getting a little fuzzy here on the last name. It may be because you can't think of anything on the spot. Nope, it's just because of the static in the air. We have Bill Kristol and Britt Hume, and they're meeting with Charles Koch today. Huh. Well, yeah, if you're, like, really into politics, you're like, oh, that's a meeting. Otherwise, it's not going to get round-the-clock fucking coverage on CNN. Or even MSNBC. Rachel Maddow and her wettest of wet dreams. Do women have that? I guess they do. Not like men do. They don't get the fun out of it. Would never do a story. I mean, she might think, oh, this is a conspiracy and say something, but she's going to lose her shit over that. Again, like you do if the Klan shows up somewhere. But you're certainly not going to do it for the Virginia Wolf Pack. For the neo-pagan white supremacists. Seriously, I'm supposed to think that anybody in the world is afraid of them. And I know. Oh, you know, just they could still be dangerous. Yeah, I know they could fucking be dangerous. And if there was a bunch of commies who said that we are the Royal Commie Order of Dungeons & Dragons, I'd be like, I'm not really too worried. Even if they got a big, no, yes, even if it's Antifa, if there's like the Antifa Dungeons & Dragons connection, I'm going to be like, look, Ben Shapiro, you're probably going to be okay here. It's the Dungeons & Dragons left-wing workers' right party. Like, whatever. Fucking neo-pagan wolf worshippers? Are you fucking out of your mind? That's fucking dumber than Alex Jones and Pizzagate. At least Pizzagate had regular adult people going to a pizza parlor. I know adults, and I know pizza. And the pedophile thing, I don't know pedophiles. Or do I? I'm sure I've met one or two. I do know one. Fuck me, I went to law school with that kid that finger blasted a 14-year-old. Ooh, son of a bitch. Well, okay, I know pedophiles then. But, you know, there's been the Catholic Church. Like, the idea of, like, a group of people in a position of power secretly being pedophiles, not totally far-flung. I mean, again, the Catholic Church, they're still digging up dead bodies filled with cum. Like, and those are real small caskets, all right? So, yeah.
still totally batshit crazy, fine. But again, at least as adults, it's not neo-pagan wolf worshippers who are on the right, like white supremacist neo-pagans. Really? Like, these are white power warlocks? What the fuck? I'm not going to be scared of this. Nobody's going to be scared of this. If anything, you tell me a story, and you want to bolster your claim that somebody is evil. Don't give me the name of a subgroup of lords and vassals that pledge themselves to Jon Snow, all right? You can't do that. It just doesn't work. I'm not going to tolerate it. And you can see, again, tying this back, I'm weaving shit, people, left and right. Yeah. And that's the reason why you lead the horse to water and you don't make him drink. When you try to make the horse drink, it's the intellectual equivalent of claiming this guy is scary because of the neo-pagan wolf-worshipping cult in Virginia. A Virginia-based neo-pagan wolf worshippers. This sounds exactly like something out of Alex Jones. And when you're saying shit that sounds like it's right out of Alex Jones, you have to be more certain than anyone. Because people don't believe that we landed on the moon. And you think you're going to convince them of a neo-pagan wolf cult. I don't think so. It doesn't work that way. People saw 9/11 in real time, right? In real time, we all watched a plane, two planes, fly into a building, two buildings, in the middle of New York City on a Tuesday. We all saw it. Every camera in the world was recording it. We had just enough cameras on the street. There's thousands of billions of hours of footage from every angle in the world, and people still think that's fake. Not quite fake like the world, like the moon landing, but they still think something's weird there. If they think that shit, fuck me, human beings are, there are people out there who credibly believe and want you to believe that the earth is flat. All right? We have so much evidence that the earth is not flat, that when you ask for evidence of why isn't the earth flat, everybody stops and goes, wait, what? And it's not because we've never had our assumptions challenged. It's kind of like saying, on your mark, get set, you take your starter's blocks, you're going to run the 400 meter dash, and then right before they blow the whistle, you go, well, what does the concept of running mean? What? This is a real basic one. So again, you need evidence. If you're going to sell me on Virginia-based neo-pagan wolf cults having influence on the White House, you have to have evidence that's more solid than that the earth is round. Because if people, that's how far-fetched this is. I am more likely to believe that the earth is flat. I am more likely to believe that the moon landing was faked and that 9/11 was an inside job than I am to believe that there are a bunch of neo-pagan, white power-loving cult members in Virginia who have anything to do with the world at large. And in fact, not only that, I'm almost more willing to believe that the moon landing was fake than I am to believe that there are a neo-pagan, wolf-worshipping, white power, right-wing cult, period. Let alone one that has any influence over the White House. I really, really want somebody to ask Donald Trump what his thoughts and feelings are on the support and ask him to disavow. Donald Trump must disavow all neo-pagan, white supremacist Virginia cult members. Because if he doesn't, then damn it, how do we know he isn't one of them too? I'm Alex Jones, signing off at halfguarded.com for MMA and Stuff, the deep, dark truth. Sent to one and all, good fight, good night. We don't say au revoir, mes amis, because we're Americans here. Keep your eyes open and your ears strained, your tongues ready
to lick your fingers so you can put it up to the winds of change and see which way they're coming from. And whatever else Alex says at the end of his crazy shows.
Bye.